this measure shall be filled. Night shall sponsor the condition of the proper which Mordechai ben Tzvi, Chaim ben David, and Yehuda ben Chaim. Yom Tov of Shavuos is fast approaching, and what better way to prepare for Kabbalah Satera than to reach out to a neighbor or a friend and introduce them to Night Tov of Shavuos. Doesn't have to be going out and scouting, making phone calls. A simple, casual remark to a chaver or a neighbor, like, so what are you doing that day? Why don't you hop over to Night Tov of Shavuos? I love to find a Sarusa, listen to that share. And you never know, with one remark bringing someone into this measure, hundreds of hours of Limud HaTorah will be on your head. May I be so bold to suggest that over yonder, everyone try to speak to one person, one individual who is not yet affiliated with tonight's head of this measure, and warmly invite him to join. Again, the dividends are endless. Tonight's head of this measure offers a variety of nightly shiurim, and one and one for who's to learn. You or anyone you know in need of a Tarusa, please don't hesitate to come over, and Be'ezus Hashem will try to find a Tarusa that suits your needs. In addition to the night of learning and shiurim, we have added on a Thursday night mishmar starting at 10 o'clock, a 1 hour learning preparation for a 15 minute Tzavura shiur at 11 o'clock, given by Tashmi and Goliath on interesting and exciting topics. It is a covered gadol to have the Goyen of Zev Snitschlita, noted placing and lecturer, was given from his precious time right before Yom Tov to give us a proper perspective and preparation in the Kabbalah Yom Tov.
Just the first of the month of the road. It's very funny to go. I'm invited to place him with way that Sanya, that someone did it for me. But I was amazed at what goes on in these Dalaramas. And that's the cover of Aksanya. I think the Kurya's base of the Dalaramas of this day's measure is crying out of Lima Atayra, of Cheshik Atayra, of Kavar Atayra. What can I tell you? There's a lot to say, not too much time, but it's Erev Shavuos. God's still every time to say there's one Yom Tov that the Chiyuv Ben HaTorah to prepare for, and that's Shavuos. God's still is the Ish Eru, but realistically speaking, the day that you have to prepare, the Shloshim Ha'Avodah, actually it's the whole sphere. The Yom Tov of Shavuos is the culmination of Shavuos, of weeks preparing. And now it's coming to the finish, the final preparation. I want to give you a thought for tonight, for tomorrow, for a whole year. It's timeless and timely. The Marzis Masech, the Brachas, the Zayin, the Tamid HaChama would bench one another with a very strange bracha. Oylamcha Kher V'Kadayim. You should see your world in your lifetime. Which is mystifying. Does anybody see his world after his demise? What does it mean, Alam Chatir B'Chayecha? So I think you know there's a message again for Erev Shavuos and post Shavuos and for every day of the year. There's a Medrash in Parsha Shoftim. The Ruach of Levav is right. This Medrash, just the words, are enough to make a total transformation in a person's life. Says the Medrash on the Pasuk in Mishlei, where Shlaim HaMelech, the wisest of all people, advises us. And what Shlaim is? Wisdom filled advice. Leich Eitzel Nomo Atzel, Re'ei Derachel V'Chakam. You want wisdom? Go to an ant. Ant? Can you teach me? And the Medrash goes on to explain what was in the ant that Shlomo was so impressed by. When the ant builds its ant hole, it has three floors, three stories. The top one, it doesn't put anything because it's rain and there's moisture and it's going to get ruined. It won't be maintained properly. The bottom one is also the ground moisture, the earth moisture, and it's not conducive for protecting it.
So it makes three stories, but the scent is really where it stores all of the crumb that it collects. Says the Medrash, the ant only lives 6 months. It means you go back to your bungalow in a few weeks and you see ants, don't give them a shalom aleichem. Then they're ants, they weren't there last year. They only live 6 months. And all it eats in its lifetime is 1.5 breklach, 1.5 crumbs. Chito mech. And what's interesting, the Medrash continues that Shimon bar Yochai took this literally, and he must have gotten his hands and knees and examined an anthill, because Shlomo advised him to do that, and that must be the ultimate wisdom. And he was shocked to see that the ant in its lifetime collects 300 korin, 300 big measures of crumbs. If it only consumes in its lifetime 1.5 crumbs, why does it collect 300 korin? That's what Shlomo meant. Re'ez Rachel v'chakom, af atem haskilu lechem mitzvahs min ha'olam hazeh lo'olam havo. Look what they do and do the same. And it seems to be more puzzling. It seems like these ants are crazy. What are they collecting ants? And you know what the Medrash says? Maybe I'll live longer. But it never happened. They seem to be obsessed with this. And what does it mean? Haskilu lechem mitzvahs min ha'olam hazeh lo'olam havo. Tyre Eden is a beautiful, practical message in this Medrash. Like Abraham said, it's enough to change a person's life. I remember once reading, there was once a rumor that some distant country, there was a magical machine. You put in dirt, and out comes gold. And many ran. They were aimless, they didn't know where they were. They're running to find that machine. Imagine if we could possess that, that we could turn dirt into gold. How wonderful that would be. But of course, it was a myth, it wasn't true. But you need to understand, we have that machine. We have that magical transformation. A person comes at night to learn. He takes time and turns it into eternity. He takes nothing and makes it into everything. Imagine, put yourself back in time to Beis Hamikdash, and you have a very critical, crucial need. You need a bracha. I have the best idea. I'm going to go to the Kohen Gadol. As he's going into the Lifnei Lifnim, the holiest person, the holiest time of the year, the holiest place in the year, and I slip in the pit with my name in it. What's better than that? Is there any better than that? Absolutely. It says the Gemara in Saita on the Pasuk Yikar Yipnim. Yikar Yi Tairi is more precious. Yikar Yi God and Nishnas of Nayu Yipnim. That there is something more precious than Yikar Yi God and Yom Kippur and Chayotim. And that's me, what's harming on the black world. You were just doing it until I came. Because the Kohen Gadol went into Kodesh HaKadoshim. But when you learn the Gemara, you intake and you inhale the Kodesh HaKadoshim into your neshama. And you sanctify the neshama with the eternal kedusha of that Gemara. That's the Kohen Yipninim. There's a lawyer that learns an hour yeshiva. He's worth $500 an hour. In person or over the phone, in fact. And he takes a few hours every day because he knows that when he's a lawyer, he's making a living, but when he's learning, he's living. He has that magical machine. He takes time and makes it timeless. We say, how time was once sitting with Talmidim. And he asked him, we say every day in davening, and we'll see him with you. Baruch of the Aliyah. V'chayei oylam not have v'seifeinu. What does that mean? What does it mean? Tell me. People are afraid to say because they knew there's something deeper than they had thought. Don't tell me. He says, where are we going to be in 100 years from now? And they were all over 20, and no one lives forever. What do you mean? We're going to be 100 years from now. But they were quiet. You know what? We're going to be with the Kaddish Baruch. Okay, this was a sort of Tzara. We're going to be in 500 years from now. They were quiet. Mid the Kaddish Baruch, and they went on like a chorus. 500, 5,000, 500,000, 5 million, 500 million. And they go, so we're going to be in 500 million years from now. So now they caught on. Mid the Kaddish Baruch. And suddenly got very serious and said, well, that's not. That's a rather presumptuous statement. You could have the courage to say you will be with the Kaddish Baruch for 500 million years. Vezov, who says? I'm very frightened. It's right. You know why? Because you learn Torah. And Torah is the very essence of Nitzchias, of eternity. And that can shut the Chaye Olam not have the same thing. In the Black Gemara, in the Perek Mishnah, is this eternity. But if I may add, 500 million years is limited. Chai Olam is unlimited. Wasn't that long ago we were in that MetLife Stadium, big huge stadium. Now imagine that they filled MetLife Stadium with billions of bags of barley. And once in a thousand years, the birds would come and consume one grain of barley. How long would it take to empty out MetLife Stadium? We don't calculate that, you can even fathom the answer to that question. But even that is limited. And even that is not yet the Chayei Olam, not the Tzefeinu. Don't we have that magical machine that transforms nothing into everything? Everybody has their 9/11 moments. It's even my age, at least, that were around. You know, I'll say my 9/11 moments. I was in the yeshiva learning that morning, that fateful morning. We heard conflicting reports of what had happened, and we could see the smoke, and it was horrifying. It was horrific. And we heard some. Some of them were missing. It was just almost impossible for me to collect my thoughts to even learn that morning. And I was sitting there in the back of the Bismarck, which must have been close to noon. And a good friend of mine who had learned the Shiva years earlier and had gone on to work, he runs by me and he looks white like a ghost. So I said, Yankee, are you okay? And he's Yankee. So he goes, yeah, yeah. I said, but you don't look good. He goes, what do you mean? You know what I just saw? He was mounted right near Ground Zero. He got off the train, he was walking towards, going towards where he had to go, and he heard the explosion, and he told to run. He wasn't crossing too close enough, but he told to run. He said, just run, go over the bridge, run back to Brooklyn, you know, we can't have anybody here. They know what had happened. So you have no idea, he said, you have no idea what I saw. He was very indicative of what he had just seen. He was white like a ghost. I said, so Yaki, so what are you doing here? He says, what do you mean, have a day off? Have a day off and go back to yeshiva. That's a mavakish. That's a mavakish, that's an opportunist, that a day off is a day on. An hour off is an hour on. And he's transforming time into gold, into 14 karat gold, into nitzchias. He's living machevos like the Olamos. I promise to always remind us of that incredible Rav Shulchan Aruch. Hilchos Talmud Torah, at the beginning, where the Rav said that a person is sent down in this world with a mission to complete his chelek in Torah. Now, of course, chelek in Torah is totally subjective. Some people have more time and less time, and more money and less money, and more health and less health. But all the variables are calculated. But everybody has his specific mission to complete his allotment in Torah that he, in his situation, can achieve. And said, Rav, that's the shot for the day that we live our lives for. The Ashrei Mi Shebo Lekam, the Talmud HaYodim. Ribbono Shel Olam, here, you sent me, and here to learn that I was supposed to, that I was destined to accomplish. That's living with the moon that we have that machine. And every time we learn, every time we zayach to a mitzvah, it's Nitzchias. and then a person puts money in the bank. You work hard, you want to save. It's a good feeling. You put money, you know it's there. It's insured, it's going to be there. No matter how, you forget about it, but it's there. And that's the chaye olam yota b'sechein. Rabbi Galinsky, Zichron Lebracha, told us once, in the show where he died for many years, he noticed a certain pattern, a certain yid, an older yid, that started davening like typically the regular minyan, but then later down you go to the back and you just sit there. Rabbi Galinsky said, like, what happened? What changed? What changed your schedule? And he got a little emotional and he said, I was in Siberia for 5 years. And you know what killed me about those 5 years? It wasn't the pain and the degradation and the humility that I was subjected to. But I missed the Heshei Rabbis. I missed Amen. I missed Kedushas. And I vowed that if I ever get out of here alive, I'm going to make everyone that I missed. I said, now I retired and I calculated per day, per week, per month, per year that I was in Siberia, and I'm going to make up every last day Heshei Rabbis. That's a mavakish. That is a machine that turns time into nitzchi. Shach Shachar Melebracha said when he read this in Vilna, the Pinkus in Vilna, the Ledger of Vilna, Maisa that was passed down in history, of course an authentic Maisa, but the Vilna Goyin read it from the big Baal Sadaka, and she had a friend, a partner with her. And they made out other guys first will come back and tell the survivor what's doing in the other world. And the friend died first, and she came back, and this is what the Goyen Rebbetzin reported to the ledger that remains the history. And in that ledger it said that the woman told the Goyen's wife, you have no idea the scar of every mitzvah. Not only the mitzvah, but every effort. Do you remember just 2 weeks earlier before I died, she said, we spotted a wealthy woman. We were trying to contact her, and there she was. And remember, you raised your hand and tried to get her attention. Well, you did it, and I didn't do it. You have no idea the schar of that effort that you got just to raise your hand. Forget about the mitzvah. That's the schar of an exertion for a mitzvah, simple effort. And how about when it's difficult? And how about the person comes at home after a busy day, after a draining day, and the last thing he has in his mind is to go learn because his mind is swimming and his mind is cloudy and there's so much to do. But he gathers the strength and he says, a whole day I make a living and at night I'm living. And then everything's magnified. Then this type effort, b'tzar, mimei shalai b'tzar. Isn't it unfathomable that it is the goal of that our machine that we have within could transform time into eternity? But you know something? In our time it's easier to live with this precept. Because look around. There's a group of people. Without doubt, in my mind, the greatest nachas that Vaishnav had in his long goes, who are certainly my greatest heroes. And they're called Baal Tshuva. And I wish one day I would be honored to be called a Baal Tshuva. But you know what the essence of Baal Tshuva is? People living decades, void of any shred of ruchnis. And then they make a transformation, make a change. And they go from people that were on the top of the world still in their profession, and they start to grapple with the basics. With the basics of that every child knows. You know, I once overheard it, I'll be asking one of the children, what does this mean? So the child was not very, didn't perceive what he was saying. He says, you don't know. Vav Alasav means the Hemtaina. And the Vav Alasav goes, thinking like, you know, I went to Yale, I went to Harvard, I never learned Vav Alasav is the Hemtaina. But they have people that are struggling, that have gone from the top of the world and they're struggling with the basics. Because they gained the understanding of what life's all about. That life is to take nothing and make it everything. Not take life and reduce it to nothing. Like the Hevel Havolim of Koheles. What do you mean, Hevel Havolim? Look at Manhattan. Look what's going on in Manhattan. That's nothing. You know, the marshal I always give is, you can see most beautiful fireworks, July 4th. Let's look what's going on in this country. The fireworks are dazzling, they're spectacular. With every color in the world, but there's nothing here. Besides this anger and knowledge. It's beautiful, it's appealing, it's transforming, it's tempting, but it's empty, it's nothing here. And that's kind of like all, and people have realized that. The truth of the ultimate second level of all. And they found the contentment. They found the satisfaction. They found what life's all about in the black tomorrow. And they have made that total transformation in their lives. Can we say that we can't change? That we can't live with more conviction for the truth? They're living Eilecha Ahava Ki Ahava Satoru. They're living in Simcha B'Simcha Satoru. They're living the Samachta B'Kol HaToy. Now there are five questions. What do they mean the Samachta B'Kol HaToy? Not just toy, but quintessential toy. And said there are five colors in the words, you can see the fire burning off the pages as he writes it. And toy on the toy. The Samachta B'Kol HaToy means we have good toy. Which is the ultimate toy. If people would understand the sweetness, the inherent sweetness of Torah, they would go crazy for any effort. And all the money in the world would be pale in comparison to the beauty of Torah. And that's the pshat, the samachta b'chol ha-toy. And every Baal Tshuva has eloquent testimony of the reality, of the truth, of the accuracy of just that, the Samachta B'Kol HaToy. We live in a Torah, we have to just inhale the beauty of Torah of those that have made the supreme sacrifice to embrace it. And we have to be inspired and encouraged to do the same. But the Eitz Hara is not asleep. There's always going to be a balance. There's always going to be a challenge. Zeh lo um zeh. Today it's very easy to learn. Today a Torah is available in every language, in every lesson, in every level. The person can be in Hong Kong and he can listen to his Daf Yomi live. I want the most getting a share, and someone came in like 10 minutes before Meir, and he asked me a question what I said earlier. So I answered, and I just, why the hell did you hear what I said? You weren't even there. But anyway, I was in the car, stuck in traffic, I heard the Shia line. Very much on a silver platter. You press the button, you can connect the call to our cooler. But equally true, a person can press the button, and he can connect to people who demand the Sharito. He can connect to the Pisca Shel Gehen. There's a world, like one brother put it so succinctly, it's never been so easy to be an elder to eat. But it's never been so challenging to want to be an Erlich Yid. Because the Hevel HaVolim has taken on new forms and new shapes and new enticements. I once had to travel to Chicago to speak, it's a legal holiday. And it's really tragic, I should say, that travel has become so difficult, so tedious, you know, with security. It takes 12 hours, I clocked it 12 hours just to make 1 hour speech. And the flight itself is not that long. And I once went to speak there, I pretty much felt that this wasn't worth my time, but there was one moment I want to share with you that made it all worth it for me. I arrived a little early when I was supposed to speak, and he said, you know, there's a sideways message to learn here, we'll call you when we're ready. And there was someone sitting next to me who clearly was not a Rashiva, he wasn't a Rav, a regular typical of our bus. But learning with it a very incredible intensity, something that attracted my attention. I say, next time I'm watching him, and he's going strong. Really, he's going strong. I went up to speak, I came back. I couldn't believe it. There he was, as if he didn't move. The same intensity, I started thinking maybe this means Eliyahu HaNavi. Because it didn't fit with the description of what I saw. And after I finished, you know, after I'm learning, he's learning, and I say, you know, so you have to apologize, I didn't talk to your speech. I said, you have to apologize, I didn't talk to my speech. But I'm studying for a very big test. I look at him and I say, you must be in his 40s. I said, you have a test at that age? Chicago must be a funny place. So he said, I'll tell you the truth. I'm very successful with a wonderful family. I went to a shir. I was an attendee, but not more. Because I wasn't absorbing it, I wasn't succeeding, I was, you know, punching in the clock, so to speak. These words pierced my heart, made the whole trip worth it. I only lived once. I only lived once. This can't go on. I'm not learning. He was happy, he was making money, he had a nice family, but I'm not learning. I said, I only lived once. And he's, again, a very ambitious, a very goal-oriented, a very driven person, and he decided he didn't find a solution to this problem that bothers him. And he did some research and discovered a wonderful program called Dearship that has different levels of what people do they undertake per month to learn. And again, he's a very goal-oriented person, and he took the most vigorous program, 30 blot be'ian. He takes a written test, 30 blot be'ian per month. And he told me, you have no idea how this changed my life. This changed my life entirely. And the test is tomorrow, and I just don't have time to hear speeches. And I thanked him profusely. He made room with it. He's living the Talmud HaBiyota. He's a Mavakish. He's a person that understands that every bar Torah is Netzach Netzachim. And it doesn't work, I'm going to make it work. And there are people that are content with excuses. Oh God, come on, this and that. I once got a phone call to see that someone was speaking and I said, well, this is a good way to tomorrow. It was not a good way to tomorrow. What is it? I could say, I'm going to come down and talk. The man was practically 50 years old. He sat down and started crying with a baby. What happened? He said, I'm almost 50 years old, he tells me. What did I do with my life? It's been bothering me, but it just hit me like a ton of bricks. What did I do with my life? So that's what I told him. And we spent some time, what we could do in the future, get it on the past. Incidentally, Michalka, envious of what he did since then. But I understood what the Arizal said, something very penetrating. To the Arizal, a person dies, so he has this machla, that machla. And the Shabbat doesn't die from a machla. So that Rizal, the reason to say this, they show the Shabbat, look, this is what you are. Recognize it. But this is what you could have been. This is what you were destined to be. And sometimes the contrast is just so overwhelmingly painful that the Shabbat leaves. And then I understood. That's the Shabbat. The person's living in this world, he's living by oilam sha'ini shalom. He has so much that he could accomplish. With all the variables that seem to be working against him. He's not a Rosh Hashiva, he's a Baal Bas. But in the world of Talmud and Biyada, in the world that you have just inhaled the beauty of the Samach of the Kalatoy all around us, could we be better? Could we make more Kabbalists in the Yom Kippur Kabbalist HaTorah? Is something more difficult than those mighty warriors that have taken on the world and defied the world and emerged victorious that a person could change literally from A to Z? That's Allah HaKir B'Hayyach. Don't wait Chas B'Shom till I'll show you the picture of what you are and what you could have been. And that's the message of the ants. Ants collect crumbs because you never know. It's an insanity. But even ant understands it only waste a usable crumb. Albeit it might not, it won't happen, but if you have it, you collect it. I can listen to the eternal wisdom of Shlaima. Hiskimu lachem mitzvot min olam hazeh l'olam haba. You have an opportunity to take nothing and turn it into everything. Look at the deal. Hiskimu lachem min olam hazeh l'olam haba. You can take olam hazeh and turn it into olam haba. You can take a fleeting moment and turn it into nitzchias. You can take dirt and turn it into gold. You can take time and turn it into the chayim olam. Not that to say shenu. That's the opportunity you have. Be an opportunist. Learn the lesson at the end that every crumb is valuable. Every night cake is valuable. Every Sunday morning is valuable. Every Shabbos afternoon is valuable. Because it's an opportunity to turn nothing into everything. The message of the medicine we have, that magical machine, we have to use it properly. I was once walking to their town, it was right before Shul said that. I was speaking somewhere in a different community in a town. It was a one-time deal, so to speak. I wasn't part of a series. And I asked them, you know, what am I talking about? I have, you know, for so many ideas. And to be honest with you, maybe I was looking a little deceiving, but I wanted to know what their palm held his most important message. I couldn't ask him that straight out, but this way it was camouflaged enough that he would answer. And as I finished my question, the rabbi says, told me, tell them that my word about Yosef. Which I knew what he meant, but I was quiet. He says, here Yosef is in prison, and now everything is going against him. And in the whole story, he was summoned to Paro to interpret the dream. And he tells him the interpretation of Paro, he finds it acceptable. And then Yosef starts to give advice, unsolicited advice. You should appoint overseers and ministers. And Pam said, I don't understand. He quoted the pasuk in the Navi, Halayoyef lamelech nesanucha. It's almost audacity. You, not every if he's the lowest element in Mitzrayim, you're giving advice to Paro, not of Mitzrayim? He asks you to give an interpretation. Thank you, and have a nice day. What are you giving advice? He said, it wasn't advice. It was an expression of deep felt of Rahmanis. Because Yosef understood the pain of Yemeirah, of not having what to eat. You know what's much worse? You know what intensifies it in a most difficult way, in the most intolerable way? When you had 7 years of Yemeirah. 7 years you had it was squandering and wasting it because there was an overabundance. If you were put away from the Meisav, from the Meirav, you wouldn't be hungry. And if you took your future and threw it away, he was telling the Paro, you don't do something, human nature squanders for the moment, and then the inevitable Meirav comes and it's wasted. And the pain that I had, I could have done something, but I didn't, that's unbearable. To tell people life is a beautiful Meisav. But no one is too happy. And then he made up, Yom She'edem, Chetetz, play Sfus, play Mitzvahs. Life is an unbelievable opportunity. You have to take advantage of it. Let me just conclude with what Ramazan used to say this every year before Shavuos. Shavuos is the greatest Yom Tov of the year. The Gemara says, Yilach HaYoyim, the greatest simcha, the greatest expression of simcha. But yet, to read the Torah, you don't find any relationship between Shavuos and Kavod HaTorah. It's called Atzeres, Chatikurim. Which day is Shavuos is so elusive? Well, they can't pick up the Mabin Avraham, because Moshe ate another day. And when there was a period in the Kaddish, it could have been that Shavuos was, hey, Sivan. How could it be? Beyond the volume of Torah, we don't even care put our finger when it is and what it is. It can't even identify Kavod HaTorah. That's the way exactly what the Rosh wanted it to be. Mitzvah Mitzrayim was a one-time history. Kabbalah Tatayr is every single day, in every single evening. Baruch Atah Hashem, Noisei HaTayra. Kabbalah Tatayr is the person who opened his heart to be Mekabal the Tatayr. Zman Matan Tatayr Stadium is an historic occurrence that we celebrate tomorrow night. But Kabbalah Tatayr, Baruch Atah Hashem, Hamalah. When you open your heart to God on Torah, in a dark winter night, or a very tempting summer night, or an early morning, or a late night, or a Sunday, or a Yom Kippur, then you make the Kabbalah Satayra. Let us as a seaboard, as the person spoke before me, said, the opportunity that you have in this community of learning and chavrusis and just everything that is here, it's the Torah given our silver platter. But let us all make somewhat of a Kabbalah in this Yom Kippur of Kabbalah Satayra. To be Makabal the Torah on Shavuos for the whole year. To realize that Yemei Sava has such opportunity in an era of history as Yemei Sava that is so easy to learn. And hopefully the sus of our Kabbalah Satayra, of our Ahava Satayra, which is designed to be truly Yom Kippur, will be as good as the regular Yemei Sava. Thank you very much.